We've all heard it. We all hate it. One simple trick.
One simple trick any direct marketer can use.
Did you know there's one simple trick that can help you get up on the
floor? Try this one simple trick to be healthier.
So today I'm going to show you how to fix your
one simple secret to help you.
Revealing one simple trick can dramatically improve your chances of getting the Rolex you actually want.
There are a few things that make me roll my eyes more than hearing that phrase. It's clickbait, right? But sometimes it can be true. I've learned about one simple trick that can reduce your risk of depression, anxiety, of pain, and fatigue that can be misdiagnosed as fibromyalgia or chronic fatigue syndrome. It can reduce your risk of developing upper respiratory tract infections, diabetes, or even preeclampsia. And it can reduce your risk of severe illness from COVID-19. What could this one simple trick be? Well, it's vitamin D. You might be deficient. In March, around 90% of the U.S. population is. What might that mean for your health? And what do you do about it? I talked to the guy on vitamin D, and you're going to want to hear what he has to say. From Texas Public Radio, this is Petri Dish. I'm Bonnie Petri.
Support for TPR comes from the University of Texas at San Antonio's Brain Health Consortium, a pioneering research hub advancing neuroscience, neuroengineering, precision medicine, and more. Learn more at utsa.edu/BHC.
Let's start with me. A couple of years ago, in late winter, one morning, I was jolted awake in what I would later call a life-altering panic attack. I'd never experienced anything like it. I remember my eyes locked open and a pervasive feeling of terror and dread. It lasted for a couple of hours, and then it loosened its grip. It was awful. I never wanted to experience anything like that again. But the next day, I did. And the next day, and then again, and again for weeks. I went to the doctor, and she tried all kinds of things. She adjusted my medication for a chronic illness I have, and added anti-anxiety medications that increased them, and tried different ones. I started taking all kinds of herbs and magnesium and started sleeping with one of those sleep masks because I thought like total blackness might reduce the risk of being wrenched awake in the early morning hours with the apocalypse on my mind. I ended up in the emergency room once. Nothing helped. Then, after around 3 months, the panic started to loosen its grip. And then finally, without any clear reason, it disappeared. Over the years, I've ended up in the doctor's office or therapist's office several times with a variety of concerns: body pain, extreme exhaustion, anhedonia, which is a kind of apathy. Not too long ago, I became interested in finding out if I could connect some dots. Was there a pattern? Was it my diet? Was it stress? Was it hormones? Maybe. Then I noticed almost all of these health disturbances landed me in a doctor's office in March. So I wondered what in March might be messing with my mind and my body. And then I recalled a number of times throughout my life that my blood work had come back with a deficiency in vitamin D. Could there be a connection? A quick Google told me, maybe. Turns out vitamin D is a busy bee in the human body, involved in maintaining both physical and mental health. It's most famous for its impact on bone health, but there is a lot more. So now, at the time of year when 90% of Americans could use a top-up of vitamin D, I thought I'd ask Dr. Michael Hollick to join us. He is a PhD, an MD, a professor of medicine, physiology, pharmacology, biophysics, molecular medicine, and is the director of the Vitamin D Skin and Bone Research Laboratory at Boston University School of Medicine. Thank you, Dr. Hollick, for joining us. All right, so first, what is vitamin D exactly?
So vitamin D turns out to be a hormone. And the reason it's a hormone is because when you're exposed to sunlight, you can make it. And so by definition, it's a hormone.
Okay, so vitamin D is not even a vitamin. Vitamins are nutrients that can't be produced by the body. They need to be consumed. And for years, scientists thought that was how we got our vitamin D, which is why it's called a vitamin. A hormone is a chemical that is naturally produced in one part of our bodies, then travels through the bloodstream to wherever it's needed. So let's take a hormone that we're all familiar with, estrogen. It's produced mainly in the ovaries and then travels through the bloodstream to the uterus, breasts, bones, and brain for use in those places. Vitamin D starts in the skin. When ultraviolet rays from the sun shine on your skin, it produces a vitamin D precursor, which then heads to your liver and then your kidneys to be turned into the kind of vitamin D our bodies can use.
It then goes to your intestine, and it tells your intestine to increase the efficiency of absorbing calcium that is in your diet. And so that's how vitamin D plays a very fundamental role in your calcium metabolism, as well as, of course, for your bone metabolism, because calcium is a major component of your skeleton.
All right, put a pin in that. We're going to talk more about that in a minute. But after the intestine, your blood takes vitamin D everywhere.
Basically, every tissue and cell in your body has a vitamin D receptor. And we did a study and showed that literally more than 1,000 of your genes are being regulated just by your vitamin D status. And so we think vitamin D is very important.
All right, so we need it. Dr. Hollick, what are some ways we can get it?
So the major source for humans had always been sun exposure. And now that we have totally different type of lifestyles, very little of our vitamin D is coming from sun exposure. So most of your vitamin D now is coming from food and or supplements. And herein lies the problem. There is essentially no vitamin D naturally occurring in your food. It's mainly oily fish, like wild-caught salmon, for example, contains about 500 to 1,000 units in a serving of 3.5 ounces. Mushrooms exposed to sunlight, so sun-dried mushrooms turn out to be a good source. Cod liver oil, and that's basically it. Other than now some countries, including the United States and India, fortify food with vitamin D. And in the United States, we fortify dairy products, as well as some orange juice products, as well as cereals as an additional source.
When you say we have different lifestyles than our ancestors, you mean, I think, in part that we don't go outside as much. And when we do, we, you know, slather ourselves in sunscreen, and rightly, because no one wants skin cancer. But beyond the sun, vitamin D is kind of difficult to find in the wild, which makes me wonder why Mother Nature would make something that is so important to our overall health and well-being so difficult to get.
So from my perspective, it's quite the opposite, right? If you think about it, if you're Mother Nature and you have this hormone that everybody needs to survive for maximum health, don't worry about the vagaries of getting it from your diet. You just have to be exposed to sunlight. And our early ancestors were hunter-gatherers. And our skin pigment was perfectly designed for our environment so that you can make enough vitamin D to satisfy that requirement and reduce risk for getting skin cancer, for example.
Which is why human skin pigment tends to change the further north you go.
From an evolutionary perspective, that's correct. We believe that the major reason for the loss of skin pigment was that as Africans were migrating north and south of the equator, their dark skin did not permit them to make enough vitamin D. And as a result, the female infants would wind up with a flat pelvis with a very small pelvic outlet, making it very difficult for childbirth. And so very rapidly, we believe that skin pigment began to disappear as people migrated further north and south of the equator in order to be able to procreate and to continue to survive.
So because darker-skinned moms who lived in northern climes couldn't really make enough vitamin D from the sun, they sometimes gave birth to baby girls who would grow up to have small, sort of what my grandma might call birthing hips, and that would make it more difficult for those girls to reproduce. Moms with slightly lighter skin who could soak up more vitamin D from less sun could reproduce more further north. So soon, the whole northern population had lighter skin. And speaking of pregnancy, Dr. Hollick, I was reading about a link between vitamin D status and a very serious complication of pregnancy, preeclampsia.
So working with Lisa Bodner decades ago, she had blood samples of pregnant women, and we did the analysis, and we reported that there was an inverse relationship with risk for preeclampsia and your circulating blood level of 25-hydroxyvitamin D. And others have now reproduced that observation. So there's very good evidence that preeclampsia is related to vitamin D deficiency, and you can reduce risk of preeclampsia by as much as 50% just by making sure during pregnancy you're vitamin D sufficient. And what does that mean? Your blood level should be in the range of around 40 to 60 nanograms per ml. So being vitamin D sufficient based on Institute of Medicine recommendation of 20 nanograms per ml doesn't really work. You really need to be in that range. It also decreases risk for premature births by more than 50% as well.
Let's drill down on target vitamin D levels in a couple of minutes, but I do want to focus a bit more on the risks of being vitamin D deficient. So we've got that pin in calcium. Let's take it out. If you're deficient in vitamin D, you can't absorb calcium as well, which triggers a series of adjustments in your body.
Yes, if you're vitamin D deficient, ultimately, what happens is you decrease the efficiency of calcium absorption, and so your blood calcium will decline. But then there's an immediate response by your parathyroid glands to make parathyroid hormone.
So your parathyroid hormone is trying to activate more vitamin D. It's hollering, come on, D, give us more calcium. We need it. But if you're D deficient, no amount of hollering from your parathyroid glands is going to activate more. So your parathyroid goes to your bones.
And it tells bone cells to remove calcium and matrix from the skeleton, thereby improving and maintaining the blood calcium. Because the body cares about your blood calcium probably more than anything else, because it controls most metabolic functions, neuromuscular activity. And as a result, the body desperately tries to keep your blood calcium within a very tight range.
Vitamin D deficiency can lead to reduced bone density, bone fragility, and increased fracture risk. And in severe cases, it can cause conditions like rickets. So soft bones in children. In adults, soft bones are called osteomalacia.
Now, what does that mean? What it means is that when you're vitamin D deficient, you can't mineralize the collagen matrix that's been newly laid down in your bone. And so it can actually cause significant discomfort in your skeleton, throbbing, aching bone pain that's often misdiagnosed as fibromyalgia, chronic fatigue syndrome. And I've had many doctors come to me that have read my New England Journal review from 2007 and said it was like a light bulb turning on, that they always felt in the wintertime they were just getting very tired. They thought they were overworked. But it turns out that when they started taking vitamin D, they got their lives back.
They got their lives back, like I did when my panic eased. It's amazing to me how many people can suffer in this world undiagnosed or misdiagnosed, and it could be something as simple as a hormone deficiency.
And there has been the link of vitamin D deficiency with neurocognitive dysfunction, depression, Alzheimer's disease.
We'll dive more into vitamin D and mental health when Petri Dish continues.
Support for Petri Dish is made possible by UT Health San Antonio's Mays Cancer Center, South Texas NCI-designated cancer center, providing cancer care for patients, advancing research, and educating the next generation of leaders. Mays Cancer Center is working to end cancer in South Texas and beyond. Learn more at mayscancercenter.org.
Hey, Petri Dish listeners, if you are enjoying this reporting on vitamin D, consider subscribing on your podcast app and sharing the show with a friend. It's the best way to support Petri Dish and spread the word about vitamin D deficiency. All right, back to the show. We're talking about vitamin D with the director of the Vitamin D Skin and Bone Research Laboratory at Boston University School of Medicine, Dr. Michael Hollick. So, doctor, what is the connection between vitamin D deficiency and mental health?
You have a vitamin D receptor in your brain, and there's good evidence that vitamin D is playing a very fundamental role in overall brain health. And there has been the link of vitamin D deficiency with neurocognitive dysfunction, depression, Alzheimer's disease.
Vitamin D plays a critical role in regulating mood, supporting brain function, and mitigating mental health issues like depression and anxiety. Deficiency is linked to lower serotonin, poor sleep, and higher rates of cognitive impairment, schizophrenia, and even autism. And nearly two-thirds of Americans have low vitamin D levels year-round, so they never feel quite right, and then, like me, crash out in February or March.
Correct. That March is usually about the lowest blood level of 25-hydroxyvitamin D. We and others have shown this. And there is good evidence that vitamin D deficiency increases risk for depression and neurocognitive dysfunction. And so that certainly is probably playing a significant role.
As I mentioned at the beginning of the show, in late winter, for many years, I'd experienced apathy, sadness, anxiety, feelings of doom, derealization, where everything around me seemed artificial or like it was in a different dimension, exhaustion, pain. In late winter, vitamin D deficiency is common, and that's because the type of ultraviolet rays that radiate from the sun and trigger your skin to start producing vitamin D cannot reach us in the winter. Little lesson on the sun. So it produces two types of ultraviolet rays, UVA and UVB. UVA makes it to the earth year-round, so we do need to protect our skin year-round, but UVB rays?
If you live above Atlanta, Georgia, you basically cannot make any vitamin D in your skin from about November until the end of March, because it all has to do with the zenith angle of the sun. The higher the zenith angle, the more efficient the UVB vitamin D producing rays are in getting in through the ozone layer for you to be able to make vitamin D. So anything less than about 35 degrees, you can't make any vitamin D from sun exposure. So even if you're in Panama, 8 o'clock in the morning with the sun shining brightly in the summertime, we did study there, you make no vitamin D.
In in the U.S., November through March, is known as vitamin D winter. One simple trick to tell if the sun is high enough for you to make vitamin D is look at your shadow. Is it shorter than you are tall? If it is, you are making vitamin D. Is your shadow long, like longer than you are tall? Well, then you're not. And by January or February, you may be out of the vitamin D that's stored in your fat, especially if you're somewhat deficient year-round. So, Dr. Hollick, what do you do if you want to get vitamin D in the winter, but you like to do things the natural way, so you don't want to take supplements?
Well, it's simple. There is no vitamin D essentially in your diet. So unless you're eating wild-caught salmon every day, right, or sun-dried mushrooms every day, or having cod liver oil every day, and even cod liver oil won't do it because it's only 400 international units because you get too much vitamin A, that's the problem. You have to take a supplement.
I've looked into tanning beds despite the skin cancer risks, but they mostly use UVA bulbs, not UVB, so you supplement. So, Dr. Hollick, how much and how often?
So, everybody should be vitamin D sufficient. Now, yes, if you're severely vitamin D deficient and you want to start taking 10,000 units a day for a week or two, you know, to really boost your blood levels quickly, that's perfectly fine. But my argument has been that we know that if you're, and I recommend it for most of my patients, and I do the same, is I take 5,000 units every day. We know that your blood level will gradually increase as soon as you start taking your vitamin D very rapidly until you get to around 20 nanograms per ml. And then it slowly will continue to increase and you reach your peak blood level at around 8 weeks. And then you maintain that amount of vitamin D. From all of my supplements, because I take not only 5,000 units of vitamin D, but I take Centrum, 1,000 units of vitamin D is in it. And also I have omega-3 fatty acid, that 2,000 units. So I'm getting about 7,000 to 8,000 units of vitamin D a day. My blood level is 82 nanograms per ml.
For those of you who might want to take a look at your blood work, if you have it handy on your patient portal or whatever, Dr. Hollick, you suggest at least between 40 to 60 nanograms per milliliter for disease prevention. But Doc, your level is higher than 60. So can you take too much vitamin D?
You absolutely can take too much. But you normally, to get toxic, you really almost have to take tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of units of vitamin D a day for months. We reported one case where a gentleman went on the internet and bought vitamin D and was taking one teaspoon twice a day that was supposed to have 1,000 units. The company forgot to dilute it. He was taking 1 million units a day. He was intoxicated, right? So we think that a blood level up to 100 is perfectly safe for nanograms per ml. 150, you're still okay, but above 150, you begin to worry about intoxication. And to get there, you really need to be on like 20 to 30,000 units probably a day for a very long period of time.
So don't do that. But Dr. Hollick, there are doctors who don't think people with higher levels of vitamin D are any healthier than people who don't. What do you say to that?
You know, we showed during COVID that if you were vitamin D sufficient, that you had a more than 54% decreased risk of getting COVID, reduced risk of dying of COVID just by being vitamin D sufficient. And now the 2024 endocrine guidelines make it clear. If you're vitamin D sufficient and really have a higher blood level, 40 nanograms per ml, reduces risk for preeclampsia and premature births, and reduces risk for autoimmune disorders, and the list goes on. And the most important of all, I think, is pre-diabetes. It helps to reduce that risk of progressing to diabetes.
There's a lot of fascinating research out there on pre-diabetes and diabetes and vitamin D. So wrap this all up for us, Doc. What is the takeaway?
I think vitamin D is critically important for your overall health and welfare. It will help you be mentally strong. It will help maintain good bone health. and reduces risk for autoimmune diseases, chronic illnesses, type 2 diabetes, decreases risk for upper respiratory tract infections. And so all of these benefits people should appreciate. And as a result, everybody, in my opinion, should be taking a vitamin D supplement because you can't get enough from your diet and certainly not from sun exposure.
So if you're feeling sad or apathetic or feeling dread or chronically fatigued or just awful generally, are you taking a vitamin D supplement? You might want to consider it. Thank you, Dr. Michael Hollick, Director of the Vitamin D Skin and Bone Research Laboratory at Austin University School of Medicine. This episode of Petri Dish was produced by Jacob Rosati, TPR Vice President of News, Dan Katz. I researched, reported, and wrote the show. Jacob composed the music, created the sound design, and edited the script. Petri Dish is a production of Texas Public Radio. I'm Bonnie Petri. Talk to you soon. Oh, by the way, Petri Dish listeners, we're working on a show right now about loneliness, and we want to hear from you. Have you experienced loneliness? What was it like for you? You could reach out to us at petridish@tpr.org. That's P-E-T-R-I-E dish@tpr.org if you'd like to share your story with us.